Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to Access Astrology. My name is Ann Ortley, and I'm an astrologer here in New York. And right now, I'm the only one here. I got signed on, and the show wasn't set up, and Heather's not here, and Mark's not here. And it's a silent, silent night here in New York City. So I'm sitting here broadcasting from my bright red desk, and we talk a little bit this week about the aspects. Sun goes into Taurus. Pluto stationed to go retrograde. We're still feeling that Pluto energy. We will till Friday. That's all the earthquakes and the volcanoes and all that cool stuff. And that's always kind of fun. And I think I've got a co-host here. Who's my co-host?
Yes, this is Heather, if they'll let me on.
Yep, you're on. You're on the air. Mm-hmm. Can you hear me?
Yes, wonderful. Yes, I am. Okay. Good. Okay. Thank you. They kept saying, unmuted, unmuted. And you can feel Mercury really slowing down, can't you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it definitely
now,
is. I didn't realize the episode wasn't. Mm-hmm. I'm like, I think I set these episodes up, and I swear that Blog Talk Radio eats them. But at any rate, yes, Mercury's slowing down. Unmute. So, yeah, it's definitely, and we also have the Pluto station, so we're having volcanoes all over the world.
Yep, with Mars.
And that's
and
Friday.
Mm-hmm.
Pardon? Yeah, that's through Friday. And then the sun goes into Taurus, so we get 30 days of springtime, And what else is it? Oh, a full moon this week, too.
Yeah, we do, and that's quite a full moon. It's a full moon in Scorpio.
Yeah,
and
yeah,
I can feel Mercury slowing down 8 more days, and it turns retrograde. And already the little communication glitches, the odd mistimings, the radio station eating the episode.
The radio show.
It's, because and all these interesting patterns that are part of it. And you can see when they announced that the New York primary had all these machines that were not working that appeared to be turning the vote to the opposite party. Very much this Mercury retrograde, Pluto retrograde, Mars retrograde, you can't quite parse apart the misuse of power, the intention to deceive, or just a plain old screw-up, because they all can look the same at this point. And so remember that when you're talking to a friend or a business partner that has done something that you really are suspicious of, it will be very hard to tell if they are trying to screw you up or if they really just was a misunderstanding or just a missed message. Mm-hmm. So my suggestion would be to act like it's a misunderstanding and keep your eyes open for the possibility that it's more than that. But start with, it's just a misunderstanding, and how can we work that through?
Or it's some kind of communication snafu, situation normal,
exactly.
All effed up. Yeah, and I think, the Mercury retrograde is all snafu-y anyhow, and this particular Mercury stationing as he does, in Taurus is not the most communicative of signs, because it's an Earth sign, so there's an opportunity for messages to be misunderstood or not even heard. Or, I had a couple of emails, in the last couple of days where I was kind of like, well, that's not really what was going on, but that's your version of it. Oh, okay. Earlier today I spent an hour and a half this morning, and Rose spent time day before yesterday, and then she spent about an hour today trying to track down PayPal, and they had this company had processed credits to our debit account. Now, mind you, when I use the debit account to suck money out to pay for a taxi, it goes right out. But when you credit me, it doesn't come back in. It goes into the transactions, but it doesn't show on the list of things coming through. So I'm arguing with this company that I didn't get any credits when, in fact, I did. But PayPal doesn't show them. And then they're telling, and after Rose went through like 4 or 5 people, the guy kind of goes, well, it's not accurate. But it took an hour. Right. In the meantime, you can't, you're my bank. You're, what do you mean it's not accurate? I want to know where my money is, and I want to know how much is in there, you know. So that's, you know, it's just kind of like, I mean, you know about this. The three people before were completely confused. And finally, this guy knew about it. He knew that that because it was a debit card, it didn't come through on the transaction list. But that's ridiculous because it's money coming in, you know. So I was like, wow, that's bad. And then it made me nervous, you know, because if we weren't watching it, we wouldn't have known. And I also
that
spent
is.
An hour and a half arguing with Citrix, telling them that none of the credits they processed had come through. And they had, in fact,
goodness.
Come through. Oh, I know. So I was like, okay, Mercury and Taurus, man. But I want, you know, when you give me a transaction, I want to see it. Yeah, I want to see it. So this is the kind of energy with Mercury retrograde we can expect, because it isn't Taurus, the sign of money. So double-check your transactions, and double-check your processes, and double-check how things are getting poked through, or not poked through, as the case may be. Yeah. So.
I had just a classic Mercury experience. Today I was meeting someone for lunch. Now, on my calendar, it said that I was supposed to have met her last Wednesday, but I didn't think that was possible, so I assumed that I had gotten on the wrong day. And I emailed for confirmation. Sure enough, today was the day. But the restaurant we were supposed to meet at was closed because the person has gone back to Thailand for a month. And we arranged this. Okay, we'll meet at this other place. We get to the other place. I arrive at the other place. Realize I left my phone home and the restaurant's closed for the day. Luckily, she had not called that she also arrived, or I would have been screwed because I didn't have my phone on me at the time. So it was three or four things that went wrong all turned out to be right in the end, and it was just fine.
Right.
And sometimes when the Mercury starts screwing up interactions and meetings, see if you can roll with it. Often, you know, you're delayed getting there and you're afraid you're not going to meet the person, but they're also delayed. And you would never have met them if you had gotten there on time. So listen for the opportunity hidden in the problem and see if you can make it a study in, you know, mindfulness, just walking through.
That it's okay that we're all in this crazy communication story together.
Right. Now, I was asked to do a wedding the weekend that Mercury turns retrograde, and I was I interviewed them and I said, "Are you sure that you want to do this on Mercury retrograde?" And they let me in on the secret, which is that they've actually been married for 2 years, but none of their family knew it.
Oh, wow.
And so
okay.
this is not a legal marriage. This is going back and redoing the wedding with family witnesses so they acknowledge the wedding.
Oh,
that
okay.
I could do
I like
on Mercury
that.
Retrograde. That was perfect.
Yep. That's a lovely use of the Mercury retrograde. Totally.
Exactly.
Yeah. Very cool. I like that. So, big secret. Guess what? We're already married.
Yes.
We just didn't tell anybody. And so what did they do? They'd run away and gotten married.
I can't let it go, right?
They'd run away and gotten married, or they hadn't told anybody?
They just hadn't told a Mormon family.
Okay.
They just hadn't told anybody.
Cool.
So, yeah, it was kind of interesting the way this – and a couple of events I have seen where, you know, a positive use of that retrograde cycle. So it really is a going back to connect. Under this retrograde cycle, I am going with my daughter to Washington to see if we can connect. We found through Ancestry.com some relatives of a side of family we thought had died off in the flu epidemic, but there's a few still left that knew the people that were directly related to. And we're going to go interview them during this Mercury retrograde time.
Oh, cool.
So, you know, it may be that we can't get a hold of them, but there's a good chance that this will be the perfect time to do this.
Right. That makes sense. And did you meet your friend at the airport okay the other day?
Yes, that went out beautifully, but both of our planes were delayed. So we sat not only and had lunch, but sat at the airport for 6 hours.
Wow.
My plane, as Mercury retrograde, and always bring something to read and something to do. Make good use of all of your odd time.
Mm-hmm.
The person, my plane was in Houston and was flooded out. So they had to find another plane and from another part of the country and bring it in to fly us to Minnesota.
Flooded out? What does that mean?
Rain? Houston had a foot of rain. And
oh, wow.
Thousands of people had to be moved, and 5 people died in the floods that day.
Wow.
And all the airports were closed, and the planes were underwater. I mean, there was
underwater.
A foot of water on the runway.
On the runway,
so,
wow.
Yeah, it was pretty impressive. And that's why our plane was several hours late.
Wow. That's pretty wild.
Again, it turned out I had met a friend who just happened to be passing through the town, and at the same time that I was, from a conference this weekend in Detroit, for people who were, and it was, we normally live at other sides of the country, and happened to be at the airport at the same time, so we arranged to have lunch together. And that lunch stretched into a 6-hour long talk, but it was lovely. And we found the meditation room to meditate at the Detroit airport. And who knew that was there, but it was perfect to duck in and duck out of the noise. It was lovely.
Very nice. That sounds really cool.
Again,
I love it.
I think that's one of the secrets of Mercury retrograde, to roll with it. And assume the agenda will be different than you intended, but instead of getting upset about it, try to figure out what the agenda really is.
Mm-hmm. Very cool. I like that. That's a really neat idea. Wow. So, and then the more we kind of hang out and figure it out, the better it is, because we're rolling with the flow, and we're also talking to Mercury. You know, the other part is just kind of say to him, "Hey, Mercury, what the heck are you trying to do?" And he also it gives you a he also gives you an information and a communication of how to go. So I think that's really cool too, because he kind of speaks to us. So, and then the full moon is the Buddha moon, right? This is the moon Buddha was enlightened under, right?
Some say it was the one he was enlightened under. Some say it was the one he was born under. There's lots of different versions. Everybody. All the stories I've seen have said that Buddha was born under a full moon, but they don't say which one. They often say the second full moon after the beginning of the year. So some people celebrate that in February. Astrologers tend to celebrate it now. Everybody defines it differently. Each country defines it a little differently.
So we don't know for sure.
Right.
It's a surprise. Shake and bake and I helped. It's a surprise.
Right. But this one makes sense because the focus of his work is trying to understand that desire creates suffering.
Right.
And wanting something other than what you're in creates an imbalance. It's more the term when translated, it's like being in the axle of a wheel, being in the wrong place, and the wheel gets more and more imbalanced. And that's very much the Scorpio full moon. Understanding the power and the problems with desire.
Yeah. And there are problems with desire. But there is power, too. It's like, ooh. And
there
of course, Taurus
There's
always
power
has,
and
hangs
problems.
On to things. Taurus always hangs on to things. So that's kind of cool. Yeah. All right. Well, and then the sun goes into Taurus. So we get 30 days of springtime. So we got an email from Celeste saying, my dear daughter will be spending the fall in Budapest, and I wonder what her astrocartography says for her in this area of the world.
Okay.
If that's something you guys have time for, we'd be most grateful. Thanks, Celeste.
Okay.
And we didn't get daughter's name. We just got dear daughter. So dear daughter's chart is, hang on, let me pull up my solar fire. Daughter's chart is 3:44 in the morning. mm-hmm. in San Francisco.
What day?
Let me look. 2/20/96, February 20th,
1996. 2/20/1996. And you said it's when? It's what
3:44
time?
In the morning
mm-hmm.
in San Francisco. And she's going to be in Budapest, Hungary.
And for people listening, if you've never had your astrocartography chart done, it's really an interesting process. With a map all around the globe, it's like doing mapping all the relocation charts. So it mm-hmm. goes for the same Greenwich Mean Time. At the same Greenwich Mean Time, but where in that part of the world? Somewhere in the world at the moment you were born. The moon was rising, the moon was setting. The moon was directly above, and the moon was directly below. When we map these out, it brings those pieces to the forefront. If we do a relocation chart to that area, it doesn't change the natal chart, but it talks about what that part of the world is bringing out. And then you can look to the transits, like you don't want to move to your... if you have the strongest place charts, and you can use traditional astrology rulerships and weighted totals to see the condition of those planets. If you have a debilitated Venus, moving to a Venus line won't produce the love that you think you're going to get. It produces all those complications. Or if you have a lovely Venus and you move there just as Pluto squares your Venus, you move into the heart of that issue. So it's kind of an interesting piece around timing and place. But mm-hmm. when we look at this person, what do you see there, Anne?
Well, I see the daughter is what we call a bowl personality, or very Eastern, all in the San Francisco chart. All the planets are on the east,
mm-hmm.
which is kind
mm-hmm.
of go-getter,
mm-hmm.
conquer the world, do stuff, even
mm-hmm.
though she's a Pisces and she's kind of softy.
Sun, moon, Pisces,
sun, moon,
Mars
Pisces. And Pisces. but she also has an Aries quality to it with the sun-moon conjunct. The Sun-Mars conjunct. When we move her to Hungary, because it is 1 hour west, east of Greenwich, right? Yeah, east, as opposed to 7 hours west of Greenwich, we flip her chart and we move all her planets over to the western quadrant and some career planets. So everything kind of flips because the chart is completely different. She goes from being
mm-hmm,
a Capricorn mm-hmm. rising, which is reliable, responsible, hardworking, duty-based Capricorn girl in the East Coast or in San Francisco. Now she's going to be a Cancer rising with the moon
mm-hmm.
at the top of the chart. So it's much, much
mm-hmm,
more
mm-hmm.
sensitive. So it completely flips her energy, and she's going to
yeah.
be a very different person.
And when we look
in both cases, Jupiter
she...
is angular,
mm-hmm.
which is a
yeah.
nice placement for Jupiter. So I think she'll feel very grounded in both
mm-hmm.
places. But very different experiences of
she's got
where
that
she's going.
Jupiter on the midheaven through London directly when you look at the maps.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Mm-hmm. So, we might ask her to check out London on the way there and back.
Mm-hmm.
Right through Hungary, she has Neptune on the midheaven. And that's often you find that people are drawn to the spiritual path. If you talk to somebody and they're interested in Southeast Asian form of Buddhism, there's their Jupiter on the, there's their Neptune on the midheaven line. Or if they're drawn to Native American work, you see it going right through the Dakotas. That people that Neptune on the midheaven often describes where we where spirit hits us, and hers goes right through Hungary.
Right.
So she may have some imagination or illusions about it that
mm-hmm.
might get burst when she gets there, but it also brings out that gift in her of it may open up. She may not see exactly what's clear, but her connection to the magic is pretty strong in that part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
And so magical things can happen.
Right. Mm-hmm. I think it looks really nice.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like a nice possibility for, some really lasting friendships that she'll carry forward,
mm-hmm.
For the rest of her life, because the Sun and Mars are in the ninth house, which often is you meet
mm-hmm.
people
mm-hmm.
that you carry forward forever. And then with her moon at the top of the chart in the Budapest chart, moon in Pisces up there at the tippy top, I think it sounds like it's for school. Maybe not. I don't know. She's could be school. But the moon Saturn is, it's definitely going to help her career, or it's going to help her understanding of the world. And as she is the Capricorn rising, she's a serious-minded young lady and was very responsible. They would have said of her, when she was, you know, when she's an old soul, when she was 4 years old, she was going on 40. She may find that in Europe she feels very young and very frisky.
Right.
And I wouldn't be surprised if she gets there and she goes, I know this place, because Jupiter rules her 12th house, and it's on the angles there. And it rules the midheaven, so I think you may find, dear daughter, that when you get there, you know where the stores are, you know where the streets are, because you've lived a past life there, and you may actually meet people that you feel like you've known forever. I don't know if that's a family legacy, you know, a part of your, we know where the family came from.
Your genetic lineage, yeah.
Your genetic legacy. Thanks, Heather. I'm like, Mercury stationing. I can't find
now,
my word.
I know.
But I do think it looks like a lot of fun, and I think a lot of creativity, and I know, you know, they have the ability now to kind of hop all over Europe with those inexpensive airplanes, so I would definitely take advantage of it, because I think you're not just going to be in Budapest. I think you're going to be moving around
I
and
agree.
Having a good time. And pierogies are wonderful food, so.
When you were born, I mean, in America and where she lives, all of those planets are down at the bottom. They're not only on the eastern side, they're most of them were below the horizon. And here, it puts all the planets above the horizon when she was born, with a few asteroids down below. So it's suddenly she's going to feel much more connected to the world and much less sort of hidden or within her family out there, which looks lovely. She's going to really feel engaged. One proviso is that it puts Pluto in her seventh house. To get to know people, I mean, it looks like it's really good for the social world. She meets great friends. She has great connections. Just watch the people that get that potential boyfriends or advisors, or just get to know them before you trust them. Because Pluto in the seventh house can mean wonderfully intense people that you do great research with. It can also mean strangely obsessive, odd people. So it's just getting to know people and seeing how they are and having healthy boundaries until you get to know them. Otherwise, it looks absolutely spectacular there.
Looks like a lot of fun. And hopefully your mom gets to visit you there. And you get to have a lot of fun with her, too, because the moon's at the top of the chart. So that's always fun. So very cool. Off you go on a big adventure. And let's see. We had a couple of hands raised on our thing here. Pick up one of them. Hi, 202-281. You're on the air. How can we help?
Hi, ladies. Long time. Okay, my birthday is 3580.
351980.
Philadelphia, PA.
Okay.
1:29 a.m.
You said.
And
how can we help you?
I just wanted to see, I guess, what's up and coming for. I've started working on a documentary, kind of spearheading it, definitely spearheading it on my own. And
congratulations.
I just wanted to see. Thank you. Yeah, I'm happy to be inspired and doing it. So I just wanted to see what you see coming up. I was actually hoping to start, like, capturing things between the 1st of May and the 18th of May. And I know there's, like, a retrograde, which, you know, I try not to be all
now,
scary about.
Is this something you've already studied and are going back to do? What's the nature of it?
Well, the nature of it is it's a yoga documentary. I do work in film. This is going to be my first doc. I started doing research and talking to people about it probably, like, I would say a couple months ago. So, yeah, it's sort of a revisit, but it is kind of new as well.
Well, and speaking of Mercury retrograde, you have one in your chart. So for you, Mercury retrograde is not a bad thing.
Right.
You were born on Mercury retrograde. Yeah. So that's why you're starting it on a retrograde. Huh? Pardon?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So you're called to do things on Mercury retrograde where everybody else gets, oh, be careful, be careful. Your chart things move forward for you on it. And they kind of zip, right? So no worries about the Mercury retrograde from your point of view because you do have one natally. You're born on the, you're born right almost on the conjunction, in fact, the inferior conjunction when the Sun and the Mercury are closest to Earth, and it rules your Jupiter storytelling, and it rules your Saturn in Virgo. So your Saturn and your Jupiter and your Mars are all in Virgo, all retrograde. So there's a very big resonance right now because Jupiter's retrograde, Saturn's retrograde, Mercury's retrograde, and your and Mars is retrograde. And you have all those planets retrograde in your chart, and you're starting this new project. So your chart is responding to the heavens by doing this. That's because of all the retrograde planets in your chart. So I think I say full steam ahead and have fun. And when
just,
you hit,
when you make the timing on anything, allow extra time, confirm meetings with people, and you know, they may want to do talk about it more articulately later, but it's a wonderful time to capture movement and to, you know, to spend the time watching people express themselves in other ways besides words.
Great.
So that will
be
beautiful.
Capturing B-roll of yoga. So
And Uranus is directly opposed to your moon right now, so you're really wanting to create change in the world around you, do something exciting and interesting in your work. And it's directly opposing your Pluto. It feels like this is that this is not just a casual interest of yours, that you're speaking about something that caused a profound change for you at various times. So because of that, you're going back in with yourself. Now, Saturn touched your ascendant and is retrograding back, and it's going to cross your ascendant probably about the time that you're bringing this to a close and coming out in the world and seen as a more serious person, with Saturn moving into your first house in the fall. So that's very interesting. Good luck with that. Looks great.
Yeah, I think it looks really good. And also because you're born on an eclipse that is, you know, there's a lot of energy in the Pisces Virgo axis these days because that's where the nodes are traveling. So this is an excellent time for funding or talking to people or getting together people that, you know, can donate time or effort to it. And because you're starting your next Jupiter phase, you're starting the 36 to 48 phase, you're running your sun line now. So the sun in Pisces on the south node, it's very much the call to create and then headed up to the north node to show the creative. You know, you're feeding, your chart's really in the mood to feed itself with its creativity to create and get things expressed in the outer world. So it's a lovely time for this to happen, and full steam ahead. Have fun, you know.
Oh, awesome.
Beautiful.
Thank you so much.
Very nice. You're very welcome.
Thank you.
Very welcome. So, Heather, what are your settings on the computer? Because you've said a couple things tonight. I'm not getting the same charts. You said you had something, she had something at Sag rising?
And then on Philadelphia,
Celeste's
PA,
daughter,
March 5th, 1980, 1:20 a.m., Placidus, geocentric. I don't think it's strange, but we can double-check that later.
I have a 13 Scorpio rising.
Interesting. Do you have EST or EDT for that?
EST.
Yep, so do I. My plus 5.
Yeah, plus 5, EST plus
1:29
5. 1:29
a.m., I will double check.
Well, no, mine's different, too. I don't know why we're getting different things, so that's odd.
And astrologers, when we – I'm sorry?
I was going to say, I know it is definitely Sag, if that helps. So.
Okay.
The rising.
Definitely Sag rising? Okay.
Mm-hmm.
So why am I at 1:29 a.m. Eastern getting a wrong thing? That's so weird. Huh.
And this is the kind of thing we astrologers worry about out there, so that when things feel a little strange, and
it's
that's
like,
the reason
what the heck's
why,
going
when,
on?
If we, it doesn't change where the aspects to any of the planets that we talked about, but it does change what house they go into. So there's a lot of information if you know roughly what time of day that you can focus on. And if you're not sure about the housing or the time, focus on the planets and on the aspects, not on the people. And I think our time is up. Is this right?
Our time is up. The
we're
British
done?
Lady has said we're done. So
good
we'll
night.
All be back next week. Take care and
wonderful.
Good night. Okay.
Take
bye-bye.
Care. Bye.